Hi, it's Peter Boyles. I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time home buyers. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000 or online, AmericanFinancing.net.
Broadcasting live from the Balcony House at the base of Winter Park, it's the Peter Boyles Show on Talk Radio 630, KHOW.
Too many mics.
Do it again. Friday morning, March the 1st, 2013. Just Dean and I, please, Kenny. KHOW Radio. Thank you, everyone. 630 KHOW. On the air, everywhere, on a remarkable Friday morning from the Balcony House in Winter Park, Colorado. The Wells Fargo NSCD races, and this is a 2-3-day event, and it's just absolutely remarkable. And it all goes to fundraise in that first hour of the show with Artie Guerrero talking about just exactly what this is all about. And it is going to be a fun morning if everybody gets out of bed and shows up. Some of these people are home sleeping with a baggie of their native soil, so we won't see them. But this man, he always shows. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a word that someone invented called frenemy. And I've been waiting to pop that on Dean for about 8 months. I read that in a book. The guy said, he's my frenemy. And I said, and I'm reading the book, and the guy said, I absolutely love him, but sometimes we get mad at each other. And I don't need this mic, please. I don't need Artie's. I just need me and Dean. Without further ado, please, turn it down, buddy. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Please, Kenny. I got way too much in my ears here someplace. I'm catching the noise. Please say good morning, and welcome to 630 KHOW. He is the blunt of every morning show we do. He wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and last night he was absolutely brilliant doing a whole critique of the morning show on KHOW. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, one of the true greats and a dear friend, Dean Singleton. Good morning, Doctor.
Peter, always a pleasure to be with you this day every year.
When did we start doing this?
Oh, could have been 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
We did this, and you and I were on the board of NACD for all those years, and worked with the organization, so we started
skiing together.
Yeah, we skied together a lot, and then we started doing this on the morning of Wells Fargo Cup, maybe 15 years ago, and haven't missed one.
I get so many emails. As soon as I announce that, you know, and emails are interesting, and I'm sure you more than get your fair share, there's an ability to send an email where there's no way to trace it back, or it just does it. It comes into some place, and they invent a name that doesn't exist. Well, as soon as I mention Dean, or that I even say that we're friends and I love Dean, it begins. Like there's no, and I suspect you catch the same thing on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people that I deal with the newspaper say, you know, how do you call Peter your friend? He beats the crap out of you every day. And I said, you know, after a while, it feels good to get the crap beat out of you once in a while.
And it works both ways.
And I get up at 5 o'clock every morning just so I can hear it.
So, give me a little bit here, buddy. And so people don't understand that. And I've tried to explain it to so many people. You know, Dean's like, I do a routine sometimes when you're asked to public speak. And inevitably, there'll be a hand that says, what do you do first thing in the morning? I get up at 3. What is the first thing you do? And I still say this from time to time. I call the international Jewish conspiracy that controls the media, and I ask them what they want me to do today. And you'll see in the room, and you see somebody go, I knew it. So there's this perception of the Post, and you know, and we hammer on the columnists, we hammer on the Post. How could the Post do this? How could the Post do that? But at the same time, you got to believe that they're sitting in the Post going, Jesus, how's this guy saying this? You know. So, what about the? You know, we talked about. We had a great conversation last night called "What's Taking Place in the Media Today."
Well, the media is in transition. Yeah, your radio media is in transition. Newspapers are in transition. Television's in transition. You know, there for a long, long time, a newspaper would set the agenda for the community. Mm-hmm. We were the town square for the community. People waited to read the newspaper every morning, and some things they liked and sometimes they didn't. We sold advertising to people to bring our audience to retailers. And suddenly the internet came along. And after the internet, mobile. And suddenly, instead of waiting till tomorrow to read the newspaper, tonight to hear the television news, you've got news and information and advertising 24/7 on the internet. If something happens, you've got it. I mean, at the Denver Post and our online operations, we strive to be on the web within 15 minutes of any breaking story.
Yeah.
And hopefully within 5 minutes, but no more than 15 minutes, we're out there. And the whole world's out there. And so the days of waiting to see what's in the newspaper or waiting to see what's on radio, it's over with. It's instantaneous. And that's caused major disruption in readership. It's caused disruption in the advertising flow for all of us because there's a lot more places to advertise. There's efficient places to advertise. So, you know, we all had it really great for so many years, and then suddenly this disruption. And so we're scrambling to make sure we stay up with that. And, I mean, digital's become, you know, the foremost part of what we do. And it's a rapidly growing audience, a rapidly growing revenue stream, which is taking the place of some of the declining revenue streams over on the traditional print. Traditional print is still very, very important, especially to people 50 and over.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
But for people 18 to 30, not so much. Yeah. And so we are transitioning.
And that's true with FM radio as well.
Sure it is. Yeah. And I mean, radio, except for your show, I never listen to radio. I have Rhapsody, and I pay $9 a month. And
we're talking about this last night.
I can punch up any musical album that's ever been produced in the world. I can get it for free without advertising, and I listen to what I want to listen to when I want to listen to it, and don't have to listen to rifle ads or whatever ads. And so I used to listen to radio all the time. I don't listen to radio anymore, except for you, because
I know what you mean.
You know, and you know, I see people all the time. I used to read your newspaper, but I don't anymore because I get it on the web. Mm-hmm. And I mean, our audience has never been bigger. Our audience has exploded in size, but most of it, or a large part of it, is on the web and mobile. And we sell advertising around that too. We just don't sell as much around it. So we're in transition. The newspaper business will become the news business because it'll be through all platforms, including print. Print's still important. I mean, most advertisers tell us they still get most of their traffic from the print advertising, but it's changing and moving, and we're changing very rapidly with it. But it's been very painful, as it has in your business too. Sure.
When I was a young guy in the business, there used to be a line that we would drop these liners: when news breaks out, we break in. Now we're doing radio shows, and listeners on the internet call us and say, this has just happened, and the newsroom doesn't have it.
Yeah,
they don't have it, you know. And so, I mean, we used to have another great line we used to do: if it's news, it's news to us.
Yeah.
That was our other great line. But when news breaks out, we break in. How many times have we heard that, Kenny? I mean, thousands of times. Now we'll have a bunch of listeners who call and say, hey, man, you know what just happened? And it's on this website or that website, or this is being fed by this alternative network. And we had this wonderful conversation last night about everything that we're watching take place in the business. You bought your first newspaper, you were, 20 years old?
I was 20. Bought a small weekly in West Texas. It was 1972.
And interesting enough, the people that created Clear Channel, you knew those guys.
Lowry Mays founded Clear Channel in 1972.
Same year.
He bought a small radio station in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. He's a fellow Texan, and I've known him almost since the beginning. Mm-hmm. I watched him build Clear Channel from one radio station to the largest radio mm-hmm. station group in the world. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it was in the year 2000, we had conversations about merging my newspaper company and his radio and TV company at the time. He had radio, TV, sure. and billboards at the time. They've now split all those off. But we kind of grew up together. And he went his doing what he knew how to do, and I did what I knew how to do.
Are there still media empires?
I'm not sure what an empire is.
Well, the Hearst and Pulitzers and.
We once had a time where you had a person who would build a newspaper group or a radio group mm-hmm. who was domineering in that group. I think that's mostly gone. Mm-hmm. It's been corporatized. As all of us grew our companies, we had to go find capital. And when you find capital, you bring in outside shareholders. In a zest to get bigger and bigger, you corporatize, and mm-hmm. and we certainly have corporatized. We're the second largest newspaper company in the country. And
who's first?
Gannett.
Okay.
Gannett's number one.
And they own Channel 9.
Yeah, they own Channel 9, right. And we're number two, and so our shareholders are very widely dispersed, and so we've corporatized too. I mean, it's not what the vision was in 1972, but mm-hmm. but that's what you do. When you reach out to use other people's capital, you corporatize, and that's not all bad. I mean, actually it's good.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm right at the break for traffic. There's a term called the mainstream media, and dominated by liberal thought, people beat them up. And I think one of the things that gives rise to talk radio is, as always, it's almost Hegelian. You know, there's always the opposite that will come out of that, the antithesis. I want you to talk about that. 16 after the hour. Dean Singleton is here. I'm Peter Boyles, KHOW Radio. You got an old car, an old truck. You're not using it anymore. There's a couple boards I'm on, and this is one I've been on for the longest time. Bob Cote, Step 13. Sitting there taking up space. Want to see it benefit people. I can think of no finer nonprofit organization to donate it to than Step 13. Step takes the toughest segments of homelessness, addicted street people, gives them the tools to take responsibility for themselves. And Step, Bob Cote and company, challenges. It doesn't coddle its residents. You have to be sober. You got to work and watch your life change. All the nonsense in this road home and this kind of stuff and give somebody a place to stay. You don't have to get sober. You just stay in here. It's ridiculous. You're killing people, as Bob says, on the installment plan. Right now, a car donated is a job created. Step 13, your car, your truck donation puts residents to work. See the man if you need heavy work done, if you want to talk to somebody about somebody in your family. Residents do it right. Step13.org, it's www.step13.org, 303-296-9020, 303-296-9020. 17 after the hour, 630 KHOW, Denver Stock Station. Here's Traffic and Susan.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time home buyers. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000 or online, AmericanFinancing.net.
After the hour 6, 622, with apologies, couldn't hear. We are Radio Free Winter Park, 630 KHOW on a Friday morning. The first, believe it or not, first morning of March 2013 in the Balcony House at Winter Park, Colorado with Dean Singleton, Artie Guerrero, Kenny Danan, the cast and crew. We have some of the athletes going to join us here in a little bit. We'll go in and out of all of this. The website this morning, khow.com, has now it's starting to just creep a little bit of light. And you can see the gates and everything for the races that are be taking place today, tomorrow, and Sunday. The website for Winter Park and for the NSCD. You can see that as well, khow.com. In Denver, partly sunny and 46 for the high, 27 tonight. Saturday, sunny and 55. And on Sunday, it's going to be beautiful, 59 degrees. It's going to be a great day up here. When Dean came up last night, I came up in the afternoon. Artie came up. Kenny, the crew, came up. It was snowing. When Dean came, came into Dino's last night, he was covered with snow. And The guy's like a chick magnet. Women came over with napkins, dried his head off. It was like, please. But anyhow, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful couple of days, and all's well in the world. We're talking about, with Dean Singleton, of course, the critique of the MSM, the so-called mainstream media. And maybe this is a better preface, better way to ask the question. What do you think of talk radio?
You know, talk radio, in most cases, is targeted to a segment. I mean, Rush Limbaugh is targeted to a conservative, right-wing segment of the population, and it has a great following. They're talking to themselves, basically. But if you pull enough conservatives together, you can build a great audience. And Rush Limbaugh is the darling. I mean, locally, Mike Rosen has a show on KOA, and he goes to an audience that's pretty conservative. I mean, talk radio tends to be directed to a segment of the audience.
And we narrowcast. We don't broadcast.
I think that's right.
No, it's very true.
And it's good business.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe this. When I was a kid getting into business, and Kenny and you, we were broadcasters. Today, what we've learned is we're narrowcasters. Mm-hmm. I never sold Zit Cream on the air in my life. I never sold little pickup trucks in my life, you know, and I never have. But there are other radio stations that aim at, you know, the 18 or the 12 plus or the 18, and they're narrowcasting. Back in the day, even when I was a kid or you were a kid, what station did you listen to in Texas as a kid, you recall?
KOMA in Oklahoma City.
Oh, it came all the way across.
Well, it's a clear channel. I mean,
that's at night, sure.
I mean, a clear channel at
but
night.
But what about a daytimer for music? Yeah, I know you're a music fan.
Oh, well, I listen to the local station in Graham, which we own now. But yeah. But it was a local station, and it played music all day, and then at night you switched to KOMA because it wasn't on at
sure,
night.
Sure, of course, it was a daytimer.
It was a daytime.
Right.
And you could get a clear channel station from everywhere. Mm-hmm. I listened to stations in New York. Mm-hmm. I think there were 50 clear channel stations.
Was that many? I don't know if
there
was that many.
50.
Okay.
Well,
right.
Maybe
that's
high.
Yeah.
But sitting on the ranch, I'd turn my radio on and listen to radio mm-hmm. all over the country at night. Mm-hmm. And then in the daytime, you listen to local stations.
What's interesting, and it's this, you know, the invisible hand, when people discovered in the 60s and into the 70s that music sounded better on FM, mm-hmm. AM goes into the tank. FM is dominant. AM figures out talk radio and just like creating the top 40 disc jockeys. Now FM has exactly the same problems because of what you talked about with these young guys, or not young guys, anybody under 35, they're creating their own music stations. So now FM is in disarray. And talk radio is the number one format in America today.
Yeah.
It's better than bigger than country or anything like that. So I ask you, I mean, Air America was an utter failure. The so-called liberal approach to radio, the progressive approach to radio, it fell on its face. Why do you think that the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and all these guys, Rosen and others, have done so well?
Because most conservatives think alike. It's easy to define what a conservative is and what they believe in. Most liberals don't think alike.
I agree.
And so, I mean, Rush Limbaugh can appeal to a huge number of conservatives, but it's pretty hard to appeal to a liberal base because liberals are all over. I mean, liberals aren't united one place.
But the argument goes like this. The liberals have Brian Williams. They have Dean Singleton. They have, you know, MSNBC. They have ABC. They have CBS. We've seen these examples.
Well, you know, let's talk about the mainstream media. I mean, there's local media, and you know we're local media, mm-hmm. and there's national media. Most national media is centered on the East Coast. Most of it in New York, but most of it, the TV networks are all out of New York. New York Times mm-hmm. is in New York. The Wall Street Journal is more conservative.
Headquarters are there.
But they're in New York. So the people that are gathering and producing and packaging your news on a national level mostly are in New York. And so they see it from a New York point of view. And they have major operations in Washington, so you see it from a inside the Beltway point of view. So when people talk about the liberal media, you know, that's not fallacy, because because it's not that they're trying to be liberal. It's just that
they are.
They are, yeah. and it's focused out of the East Coast, where people are more liberal. I mean.
Or New York.
Anywhere on the East Coast. I mean,
There was red states down the East Coast. When you say East Coast,
well, north,
you're really principally.
I'm talking Northeast.
You're Washington, D.C., North.
Yeah. And so most of our national news is brought to us from people who see it through an eyeglass in New York. And so that's why people out in the middle America views it as liberal, because to them it is liberal.
Yeah, if you look at the map, and then I'm going to break, and we got these young athletes, we continue with this. I thought that it was an interesting outcome. The center of the United States of America was red. The coasts were blue.
Mm-hmm. That's what this country has become.
You said this last night. You made some powerful points we were talking about. And Dean feels as I feel, which is one of the most remarkable moments in time, we agree. The Republican Party, for all intents and purposes, is dead.
Well, I think it's in trouble nationally. It's not in trouble locally. I mean, Republicans control 30 state houses.
No, but I'm talking about in Colorado.
I think it's dead in Colorado.
I think it's dead in the country.
It's not dead.
You think we'll ever see another Republican president in our lifetime?
No.
I agree with you.
And it really doesn't matter who the Republicans put up. Republicans, in my view, won't win another presidency in our lifetime.
I totally agree. I'm going to ask you why, but I want to get these young women on the show real quick because they need to practice. Dean's here, 6:30 on KHOW, 6:30 on 6:30. It's March the 1st, 2013. From the Balcony House in Winter Park, Colorado, Wells Fargo, NSCD, and our website this morning, khw.com, you can see now it's starting to get lighter and lighter. The chairlifts are out there covered in snow, and you can see the end of the race course. And the website is khw.com. Then we can go to the NSCD, and we can also go to our Winter Park website. All right, everybody, what we're going to do is take a turnaround. We have some of these great young women with us. Kenny Danan's got the con. The Sheik's here. Artie Guerrero. And, of course, special guest, William Dean Singleton. Back after this on KHOW Radio.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time home buyers. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000 or online, AmericanFinancing.net.
6:36. Good morning again, everyone. 24 minutes before the hour. Dean Singleton, Peter Boyles on the air everywhere. Kenny Danan, The Sheik, Greg Hollenbach, Eddie Guerrero, and a cast of thousands. 38th annual Wells Fargo Ski Cup in Winter Park to benefit the National Sports Center for the Disabled. There's more than 5,000 people expected to attend the longest-running professional ski race in the country. That's amazing. With us now, and these are remarkable young women, Jill Wilkerson is with us from Modesto, California. Was Modesto where they filmed American Graffiti? Was that about
yes,
Modesto?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I thought
yeah.
so. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you know them guys?
It was a little bit before my time. But.
Rock and roll went to hell when Buddy Holly died. And Sarah Holmes. Sarah, you are from Wisconsin, I think?
Yes.
We're going to rap. You rap.
I do. We don't. I don't know if it's radio appropriate.
Well, just, you know, I mean, remember it's would you, here's the best way to say this. Would you rap this in front of your mom and dad?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So we're not going to do it on the air. I'll be this guy goes. Then you rap. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Can't do it.
Want me to pick it up and slow it down? Forget about it.
All right,
you got it.
Next time.
All right, Jill, you are a downhiller, or you're retiring now.
I am.
How? Tell me about yourself. You began skiing, like I read, you're 3 years old.
Yeah, I started skiing when I was three, in California, and you know, it was a yearly thing going up, yeah. You know, all year. And, did some racing growing up and really enjoyed it and ended up teaching skiing and then taught my nieces and nephews like when they were three.
Now, I read this about you to get ready for the show. Believe it, you were bit by a spider.
I was bit by a black widow.
True story. What happened next?
I was bit on my face by a black widow, developed an infection, which was MRSA, which is a staph infection. And I fought it for many years, and then I'd gotten septic, so it was pretty much everywhere, and ended up in my leg. And I fought for 2 years trying to save my leg, and unfortunately they had to take it. It was about 4 years ago, and then I had a reoccurrence of MRSA 4 months ago, which I just lost my arm. So,
man,
I actually just got my arm prosthetic on Monday.
Yeah,
so
I saw it.
Still,
it's very cool. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah,
playing around with it.
It's bionic.
It is.
Yeah. And you ran the downhill.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed the speed.
Now, for people that don't know skiing, it's like saying, what's the downhill? The downhill is equivalent to Top Fuel funny cars. It's equivalent to, you know, every nonsensical, crazy top bull riding. That's the downhill. Like, people always see people like go the Gates and slalom and Sarah slaloms, but explain the downhill.
Well, the downhills, I like the downhill because I think I kind of feel free going through it. Just with, you go so fast and the wind just kind of blows through your face. You know, going 45, 50 miles an hour on one leg.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty exciting. It's kind of like a...
Make you brand new.
It is. Yeah. Now, when you crash, it hurts a little more, but no. It's a...
Well, that's Lindsey Vonn.
Exactly.
She was a downhiller.
It's
or is it
never a dull moment.
Did you guys ever meet her? You ever meet Vonn?
I haven't. I've met Julia Mancuso just because she's from Tahoe. But
sure.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, running the downhill, and it's like I said, it's like the Top Fuel funny car guys. It's like the bull riders. It's like, you know, being a running back in the NFL. You know, you just can't think of anything crazier.
Right.
And you got the downhill. And I just admire you so much. I mean, I truly do. How long have you been here?
Well, I learned how to three-track shortly after I lost my leg, like 3 months after I lost my leg. Okay. I came out to Breckenridge and learned how.
Okay.
That same year, I was introduced to Winter Park, and I had no clue where Winter Park was.
Yeah.
And I came out here and for Wells Fargo Cup, actually.
Oh, wow.
Three years or 4 years ago.
You ran a race a couple years ago?
And I did.
Okay.
And that was my first year, 6 months after I'd lost my leg.
Wow.
And I was immediately attached.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, all right, I'm here every year now or whatever.
Yeah, Godski's here.
So, yeah. I mean, it was great. It was, it's a family here.
It, well said.
So.
Have you met Mr. Singleton before? Because he is one of the prime movers in what we're all doing right now. Sarah. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, I read about you that you were, till you were 10 years of age, you were what we'd say up here, you were an able-bodied skier.
Yes.
Like, what happened?
I was diagnosed with a tumor on my spinal cord when I was 10, and the tumor grew back four different times between ages of 10 and 16.
Wow.
So in 2009, when I was 16, I ended up having the lower portion of my spinal cord severed because of the tumor, which caused partial paralysis in my legs. So I had to give up able-bodied skiing, and I actually didn't ski for like about 2 years.
Here's what I read to get ready to speak to you, and I get involved with Make-A-Wish. We made wishes for people.
Yep.
Were you a Make-A-Wish kid?
I was.
I read that. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's so wonderful. What was your wish?
My wish was to learn how to ski with adaptive equipment.
Who brought you here?
The head alpine director, Eric Peterson.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
And, like, just really, like, the Make-A-Wish got me involved with it. And from there, I was introduced to NSCD right off the bat.
And you're a slalom racer.
I do all the events, but okay. I prefer slalom.
Now, the big slalom or the little slalom?
The little, yeah.
Get in the face with a stick.
Yeah, small, quick turns.
Get hit in the face with a stick. So you're 19. By the way, I wish you guys could see her. Both these women are beautiful. You're absolutely stunning. I mean, you're a great-looking young woman. So tell me what you do, what your day's like, and I'll come back as well. Because right now, Jill, you're in the process of retiring, getting out of racing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, with only two limbs left, I kind of have to be a little careful.
That's a great line.
And I've had some nasty crashes. So
I'm going to steal that.
I'm actually going to come back next year and learn how to ski again, whether I two-track or I get a prosthetic knee and just ski like that. Recreational ski with my nieces and nephews, family.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in love with both you. You know, when Mr. Singleton and I were talking about, Eddie and I, we were all talking about it, Artie and I and everybody, Ed and all the guys talking about, what pushes you?
You know,
I mean, you could have thrown the hat in and nobody would have said, oh, geez, that's a, you know, damn, that Jill, you know, she took too many hits. And
Yeah, I have a pretty good support system back home. And
your folks?
My folks, family. I love kids.
Yeah.
Nieces and nephews, you know, treating them like my own.
Yeah.
And they've been there since day one.
Yeah.
Since I got bit by my side.
Yeah. Did you ever want to throw it in?
Not until I lost my hand.
Yeah.
When I lost my leg, I had a lot of time to process it. And I had something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to ski again. So I had that to look forward to. So it was a little easier to actually bounce back from that. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's a little different with the arm situation. Yeah. It's definitely harder losing an upper body extremity than a lower body. Yeah. But, technology nowadays with prosthetics is amazing. And
with fighters, they call it heart.
Yeah.
They always call a fighter has a fighting heart, and you got a fighting heart.
Thanks.
All right, Sarah. Now you're still racing.
Yes.
I wish we had a camera. So can we shoot a picture of her and put these two women and put it on our website so people can see these. Can we take a picture of these two women and send it back to the guys and get it up on the website, because they're just motivational. So do you live here now? Do you live in a park now?
I do. I live in Winter Park in the winter to train full-time with NSCD.
Okay.
Last year was my first season training with the program.
Excuse me, let me do this. Put Eddie, Mr. Singleton, and put all these guys so people can see everybody, okay, and then we can send it back and put it up. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So last year was my first season training full-time with NSCD, fresh out of high school, and so I really enjoyed it. I loved the racing part of it, and I mean, like Jill said, it's like a family here, so being so far away from home, it was a great transition to be with everyone. And
what do you do when the season's over?
I actually have a part-time job in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and I go to school as well.
Where do you go to school?
Madison Area Technical College.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Right now I'm studying business administration. So
Dean and I are just grinning, man. You're just like the best. Did you ever, because this happened to you were 10. What was going on at 10 when this happens? And you guys, that this is a vivacious young, both of them, young women. What happened in your family when all of a sudden, Sarah's hurt?
My family is pretty strong. So we kind of just accepted it. And both of my parents are pretty athletic. And so they just kept pushing me to do whatever I could and don't let anything get in my way.
That's Eddie's
I kind of grew up that I wasn't allowed to sit back and watch.
No.
They forced me to do get out there and keep living. So
no one cut you any slack.
Right.
God.
So, after it reoccurred multiple times, mm-hmm. Each
what
time
it
was a little different, but you just keep moving on. There's
what
always.
Kid. What a kid.
There's always like other people out there that are in a much worse situation. So.
I think that you're like the best. I hold everybody. We'll bring Mr. Singleton on back with you guys as well. Do we get those pictures and send them up, you guys? They're going up on a website here in just a second to see these women, along with myself and Dean. It's like 6:46, 14 before the hour. Just remarkable, remarkable stuff. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick turnaround. 6:30 KHW. I had to look at the number, the 38th time Wells Fargo Ski Cup in Winter Park to benefit these exceptional people. And there's three racers. There's a corporate cup. There's a pro-am. And they just spank it. And in the past, and I probably will race tomorrow, but I've had the chance when training days and stuff like that to get out there with guys like you. And I swear to God, you could spot me five gates in an eight-gate race and take me by a gate. But I love you both. Everybody, hang on a second. We're coming back. 6:30 KHOW, Radio Free Winter Park. Let's go to the top. Here we go.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time home buyers. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000 or online, AmericanFinancing.net.
All right, 6:52, 8 minutes before the hour. This is just the best show. Friday morning, March the 1st. Nobody's yelling at me. Of course, on the email, they're probably all yelling at me. KHOW Radio, from the Balcony House in Winter Park, Colorado, for the 38th year. Wells Fargo's NSCD, Winter Park, the website. Now we have the pictures of these young women are up. But then, and during the pause, Mr. Singleton and I, using the women's bathroom, we both discovered there are not urinals in women's bathrooms. But I shouldn't say that. But we're watching you take your new hand. Dean, I got to tell folks about Intimax. Watch this. This is the most amazing thing. And that's her hand. Wow. Can we take pictures of that? And you're cool with that?
Yeah, that's okay. Fun. Yeah, right. I just actually got this Monday.
Take some photos of that. Now, let me get the commercial message out of the way. Because, I mean, can we make some video of that or something?
Oh, hold on.
Did you ever
hold
see
on.
Anything like that, Dean?
Let me turn it.
Me neither. Awesome. You know, that was that thing that reminded me of something. That's her hand, but it's not your hand. You can.
It's not, but pretty close. It might do a little more than what my hand.
Yeah,
is.
We don't know yet. That's right.
It's a myoelectric hand, so it has sensors inside my socket. So when I move my muscles in my forearm, what's left of my stump, it's like kind of slapping someone, pushing your hand in, not closing my hand, and pushing something out will open my hand.
Remember the great line? Stand back. I don't know how big this thing's going to get.
Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty brutal, actually. It pinches pretty tight.
I'll bet it does.
It gives you a good grip.
Let me tell folks about a good night's sleep and come back to your hand. The most important place in your home is the bedroom. It's part of a healthy lifestyle. You can't talk because you see the microphones are on. I'm just trying to warn you both, all right? I have to teach people show business. Most adults spend about a third of the day sleeping. If you're having trouble getting a good night's sleep, Intimax in Denver, Fort Collins, to review the most innovative sleep systems available anywhere. A good mattress is truly the key to getting a good night's rest, and that leads to a better daytime performance. Let Intimax help you create total sleep sanctuary to give you the best rest you've ever had. Choose from air, fluid, latex, memory gel, sponge support, all designed to provide you total body support, amazing comfort. Intimax, 530 West Elk Place, East or Westbound on I-70, over or under I-25. See a blue and white warehouse. There it is, 7 days a week. I-25 and Highway 14 in Fort Collins. There it is as well. For better directions than that, 1-800-INTIMAX. In Denver, the weather partly sunny today, 46, 27 tonight, 55 on Saturday, and 59 on Sunday, with Dean Singleton and these two remarkable women. And we're sitting talking, and Jill Wilkerson, who we talked about what happened to her, and you have this new, I mean, that was amazing, Dean. I mean, that was like.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Did we get that up on the site? Okay, that's up, plus the pictures of these women, khw.com. Explain what, I mean, it's a hand.
It is. Like I said, it's a myoelectric hand. It has two sensors in my forearm, which with the movement of my muscles in my forearm will open and close my hand. It actually moves the first three fingers, and then the other two kind of just move along.
So you control it by your other hand?
So, no, I control it by this. I'm moving my muscle, like, in here.
Okay.
In the actual, like, if I was attempting to do this.
Oh, man. That's so like a hand.
It is. I mean, I have a prosthetic leg, but it's not as fancy as.
That's very cool.
As this one. So, I said, I just got a Monday, still learning, still playing around.
I love it. I want you guys to talk about the NSCD. We got about 4 minutes until the news, how important it is.
Gonna start.
Sarah?
Yeah. Well, NSCD really just gives any age out there that has a disability or life-altering situation another chance, really. Especially here in Colorado, it's the ski state. You know, that's how I always remembered it as a kid growing up. So, you know, to be like an able-bodied skier like Jill and I, and to be able to come to a place like Winter Park and get back on the slopes after what we've been through. It's just inspiring, even to us as athletes, to meet people that come in on the rec side and hear their story. And
what do you say? What do you mean, the rec side?
So there's like the competition side of NSCD, which
recreation.
Is what we're a part of. And then there's a recreational side where you learn how to get back into the sport. And we are given the opportunity to meet some of the people that come through on the recreation side. And just to hear their stories and where they're coming from and how they're getting back to living their life again. I mean, it's inspiring to everybody, whether we're inspiring to others or people are inspiring us.
You are inspiring to others, truly. I mean, for a 19-year-old young woman and a 33-year-old young woman and everything you've been through and to see the two of you, and, you know, there's that great line, Dean and I were talking about it. It's like, you know, you don't have any problems. You know, to watch all of you, Dean and And you, young woman, you guys are terrific. So you going to be racing tomorrow?
Unfortunately, we are not going to be racing.
They're keeping the pros out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I actually just injured my shoulder.
Took a fall?
At a race. Yeah, I ended up breaking my shoulder. So I'm on injured reserve right now.
You're on IR. Are you going to? You guys?
I'm on the injured reserve right now, too. So we kind of have our own team.
Yeah, we're going to.
We are here to cheerlead and support everyone. And, you know, this is one of the first times I've been out of state since I lost my arm. And when I first saw the snow, I was just like, oh, man. And it's just so welcoming here. So it's great. Puts a smile on my face. And
it's so incredible. It snowed last night, and they got great snow and everything. You've honored the show, man, for being on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Wonderful. You can see them. They're up, khow.com. Their pictures and all of us sitting here with Dean and everyone, as well as that hand, is just incredible. Dean and I said, I never said anything like that. God bless you both. We come back after the news at the top of the hour. We'll continue with Dean Singleton. All kinds of other folks will be with us. We are in the Balcony House in Winter Park, Colorado. For the 38th time, everybody gets together. Somebody just came in with a helper dog. We are 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.